I'm going to talk about ShadowDB, a replicated database on a synthesized consensus core. So this is ShadowDB is an experiment on building fault-tolerant software using synthesized code. There's still lots to be done on the evaluation part and on the optimization part, but this is the result of this experiment. So the big picture of ShadowDB. So we built a replicated version of BerkeleyDB. The replication protocol part is handwritten, and we use the primary backup scheme, where we have a primary that orders the transaction updates, sends them to F backups, and when the backups reply, the primary says, it's fine, I can answer the client. So here we consider crash failures for now, and F is the maximum number of failures we tolerate. And so in this system, if there's a network partition or a crash of the primary or one of the backups, you have to make sure that you agree on the next group configuration. So you'll replace one of the failed databases with a new one, and you need to make sure that all the members of the group agree on this configuration. So this is a tricky part, and it's much more difficult to test to make sure it works correctly compared to the replication protocol, which is much easier to test and to have a good test coverage for. So what we do is, to handle failure, we rely on a synthesized consensus service that is provably correct. In this paper, what we have is an implementation of a consensus service we call two-third consensus that relies on 3F plus 1 machines to tolerate up to F crash failures. So you might ask, for those of you who are familiar with the topic, why 3F plus 1 instead of 2F plus 1 for Paxos, for example? Well, this protocol can design in a single round of communication. So to take a quick peek at the service, so each of these machines will run synthesized code, which are in the form of what we call new Perl terms, and they run inside an evaluator. And one of the nice features of this approach, so specifying a protocol in a quite high-level language and then synthesizing provably correct code, is that we can insert quite easily diversity, I'm sorry. So for now, we don't have yet automatically generated diversity. This is future work. But what we have is we have evaluators written in different languages. So we can evaluate the new Perl terms in OCaml or in SML. And by having this source of diversity, which we call diversity in space, we hope to be able to reduce the correlation between crash failures. So here's the outline of the talk. I'll explain briefly the replication protocol on which ShadowDB is built. I'll present the methodology that we use to synthesize the consensus service. And then I'll give some performance results. So the replication protocol for the normal case, this is a pretty standard replication protocol. So we have a client on the left that will send transactions, in this case stored procedures, to the primary. You have the one backup here, so we consider F equals one. The primary will execute the transaction, but delay the commit until it receives acknowledgments from the backups. It will transmit the updates with some ordering information to the backups. In that case, it's simply a sequence number, so an integer, followed by a group incarnation. So this tuple uniquely identifies the ordering of the transaction. And typically, the group incarnation is incremented whenever we reconfigure the group of replicas. So when a backup receives that message, you would store the message, acknowledge that to the primary, and at that point, the primary says the transaction has been stored at F plus one replicas. It's fine, I can answer the client. So it commits the transaction, sends back the answer to the client, and at the same time sends a commit notification to the backups so they can commit the transaction. So this is for the normal case when there's no failure or no network partition. So now for the recovery part. So how do we handle crashes or network partitions? So let's suppose we would not rely on a synthesized consensus service. What could go wrong? So suppose you have a network partition at some point, so the primary cannot communicate with the backups anymore. So they want to reconfigure the system. So they want to agree on a new group configuration so that they can, again, execute transactions. So one thing that might happen is that they disagree on the next group configuration. And obviously, this is bad because you have two completely independent systems, and then your state will diverge. So this is why, in that case, we will rely on the synthesized consensus service. So what we do is, if we suspect a failure of one of the backups, or if the backup suspects a failure of the primary, it will first wedge itself. So by that, we mean that it will stop accepting new transactions. This makes sure that the group configuration cannot order transactions anymore. And then they would propose a new group configuration to the consensus service. So more particularly, they would say, for the next group incarnation, here's the sequence number I vote on. So this will be the last sequence number to consider for the previous group configuration. So we agree on a prefix of executed transactions, and the new primary and the new backups. And what the synthesized consensus service ensures is that eventually you agree on the next group incarnation. So the prefix, the new primary, and the new backups. And once you agree on that, you can do state transfer in different ways. So currently in the prototype, it's done in a basic way. The primary just sends the state to the backups, but you could have more realistic scenarios where you gradually send the state to the backups. So, so now I'll talk about the methodology we used to synthesize this consensus service. So first, as a reminder, so here are the properties we're aiming for. The first two are the ones that were proven. So the code that is running ensures these two properties. The first one is the most important one. So they need to agree on every decision. The second one says it has to be one of the proposals, which is quite important as well. And the third property is not proven yet, but this is future work. So we will show that there exists an execution in which you decide. Right, the protocol will not be blocked forever. And here's a workflow of the methodology that we use to synthesize this consensus service. So you start by either a specification in English of your protocol or some pseudocode specification. From there, so arrow B, you by hand write an EventML specification. So EventML is a language of the new Perl proof assistant. And from this specification, you can already generate code. This code will not guarantee to satisfy any correctness criteria, of course, because you haven't proven anything yet. But you can still do that to play around with the spec, see what you get. From that spec, you can then automatically generate a new Perl specification, which is a lower level specification written in some logic that is called the logic of events. And from there, you can do two things. So one, you can write your correctness proofs. And if they're wrong, you go back to the new Perl spec. So either change the new Perl spec or the EventML specification until you can prove the correctness of the code. And once the specification is proven correct, you can actually synthesize code. And the code that you will have is provably correct with respect to the theorems you proved about it. So I'm not going to illustrate all the steps. I'll just illustrate one step, which goes from pseudocode to EventML, for a part of the two-third consensus protocol. So this is pseudocode that you might write to describe the main part of the protocol. So in a few words, this protocol is round-based. In each round, processes broadcast to the others the proposal and wants it to be accepted. And at the end of the round, all the processes wait for n minus f messages. So all the processes minus f that might have failed. And depending on the values received, they take actions. And in particular, you can see here, if vals, so vals is the values received, if you receive 2f plus 1, which is in a quorum in our case, and if all the values are equal to some value, then you can decide. Okay? And then you do different things, which I will not talk about here, but I will show you how we can go from this specification to the EventML specification. So this is how this looks like in EventML. And for the part where you decide, you can read it here. So if you receive 2f plus 1 values, you compute a possible majority, where x is the value in that majority and k is the number of values that have x. So if k, so you have k values that are the same, then you can just decide. So you can see it's pretty close to a natural specification in English. So some performance results. So we ran a benchmark where we had read-only transactions, which simply got the balance of a random account. And the update transaction was depositing some randomly selected amount of money to a random account. And what we show here is that the performance is pretty close to a single node BerkeleyDB instance. And for the recovery time, so it was OK for ShadowDB, but it's very slow compared to manually written code. So to run and decide on in a consensus instance, at the time of submission, it took about 3.5 seconds. It now takes a bit more than half a second, and it's so it's better, but it's still too slow if you want to synthesize more a bigger part of the replication protocol. And this is actually ongoing work. So as future work, there's quite a few things we'd like to do. Once the synthesized code is more optimized, we'd like to synthesize the actual replication protocol, not only the consensus service. We'd like to add more sources of diversity. The first one being diversity in time. And this is to fight against an attacker that would take some time to craft an attack and then carry out the attack. So we hope to be able to change the protocol before the attacker carries out the attack. So we already have a synthesized version of Paxos, and we can switch at runtime between the two protocols. But we'd like also to have Byzantine-tolerant versions of the protocols. We'd like to be able to move the participants of the consensus service. The other source of diversity, which we'd like to dig into more, is diversity in space, where replicas at a given time run different code. And so right now, as I said before, we have different evaluators, but we'd like to also be able to have different data structures that ensure the same semantics and preserve correctness of the code, but to be able to diversify that. And of course, we'd like to also evaluate the impact of diversity. So does that really help to lower the correlation between failures? All right. Thank you for your attention. Yes.
And you have a separate protocol for the...
Yeah. So the first, I can show the first picture again. Yeah, so the replication protocol is handwritten in Java at the moment, and this part is synthesized. And it's used to reconfigure the set of replicas, so upon failure. So,
just because you want to have that, you reuse Berkeley DB?
So here, so when I said that we have Paxos now synthesized, I meant that what we can do is actually change the consensus protocol at runtime. So there's two reasons. So first, we want to have a provably correct consensus service, right? To make sure that it's correct. Then we need this consensus service if there's a failure here, because we need to make sure that the next configuration, everyone agrees on the next configuration. We don't want to have two completely independent set of replicas.
But the question is,
maybe.
Why don't you use Paxos to do the replication itself?
Oh, okay. Sure. So it's because it's too slow for now. It's a simple.
So this is too slow.
Yeah, this part is too slow. It takes half a second. So you'd execute like two transactions per second compared to a few thousand read-only or a few hundred updates. Yes.
And do you expect reconfiguration to occur multiple times per second?
Hopefully not, but yeah.
Okay, so in practice.
In practice, you use that rarely. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So is that a real concern then? The fact that Paxos is slow, is that a real concern?
Not for the system, yeah. But what we'd like to do is synthesize part of this protocol. That's one option, or as you said, if this service would be fast enough, well, order everything, order the transactions directly, and you wouldn't need this protocol here.
It was along the same clarification lines there. The reason that you had to write your replication protocol is that the synthesized code is too slow.
Yeah, there's another reason also. It's that this is harder to test, and it's more complicated code. It's actually easier to have high test coverage for this part than for this part, because here you need to consider all different interleavings, crash scenarios, and so on. So I was not the person to do this task. So it's actually another postdoc working at Cornell, Vincent Rally, here, who's working with Robert Constable, who actually proved the correctness of these protocols. If I remember correctly, for Paxos, it took him a few weeks. That's correct?
2.5 weeks
to prove the correctness of Paxos, the safety part. So for the synthesis, it's completely automatic. So once you have the specification, it's automatic. For the proof, yeah, of course, yeah. But you can also actually synthesize the code from the EventML specification, which is not I mean, not correct, because you haven't proved anything. But so I may go back to the. Yeah, so once you have this specification, you can already synthesize code, but you haven't proven anything. If you once you proved what you wanted to prove, you can synthesize code, and it's provably correct. And that step is completely automatic. This part, most of it is manual, but there are some steps that are automatic. D is also automatic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you were able to reduce the
execution
time,
yeah,
from 3.5 to 0.6. How? I mean, this was code that was automatically synthesized, so there must be something that you changed the synthesizer somehow to generate better code.
Yeah.
What principles were you using to guide you?
So again, I'll answer to the best of my knowledge. But I think, so what they did, one thing was to reduce, what they generate is a syntax tree, so that has to be evaluated. One thing they did is to reduce the size of the tree by using some optimization techniques to say, oh, I can actually reduce that to a simpler expression.
Do you perceive that these optimizations are broadly applicable, or the next protocol that they are looking at, they have to go through the same steps again?
They were not protocol-specific optimizations. They were broad techniques, yeah.
Thank you.